To hear all the clips of the show like this and more, please sign up to our weekly Nolan newsletter at bbc.co.uk/Nolan. Family of the Northern Irish schoolboy Ronan Hughes, who took his life last week after being blackmailed into providing compromising photos, have said the online gang responsible was based in Nigeria and had demanded £3,300 from the schoolboy within 48 hours. The child protection expert Jim Gamble is with us this morning. Good morning to you, Jim.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. I read this story in the Irish News yesterday. It just astonished me, Jim, the vile aggression with which these criminals pursued this young man.
Oh, there's no question. The malicious intent. These people don't care about anyone. And that's why it's so important that we learn whatever lessons can be learned from this. We've got to get to the point that where young people have the courage to come forward, that the police respond in a timely fashion, that other services ensure that we wrap, you know, whatever protection we can, whatever support we can, from the GP the whole way through to the school and others. But critically in this position, I would have hoped that with some early warning, police would have sat in Ronan's chair, taken over his account and engaged with the blackmailers as if they were him, to play it out and to give them the opportunity perhaps of transferring some money so that they could identify them at the point of collection.
Well, this is a Nigerian gang. That's an international police operation then, Jim. Very complex, very complicated.
Well, it's as complex or as complicated as you want to make it. If you don't get it right in the first few golden hours, once you have been told that a child is in this desperate situation, you can do little else. But let's be clear, we talk about the complexity of this. This is some people in Nigeria with malicious and malign intent, with some laptops and the ability to take money. There were nearly 60 people, perhaps more, arrested in the Philippines last year, linked to the extortion and suicide. I don't even like calling it suicide. I think it's murder of Daniel Perry last year in Fife, who was in very similar circumstances to Ronan. So at the end of the day, police need to cooperate. There is the capability and capacity within international law enforcement to do just that. And what we've got to do is, in the first moments when we find out a child is in this desperate situation, is make sure that they get all of the help that they need to sustain them through the first few very difficult weeks.
What do you make, Jim, of what's being reported that Ronan and his family went to the local police station and that they were kept waiting 15 minutes? That's not that long a time, but they were told to come back the next day.
Well, I hope that's not right. But if it is, I think that's probably because police officers, and let's face it, there are fewer than there have ever been before, don't at that frontline level perhaps have an understanding of what they see as a very complex crime, and the complexity comes because of the involvement of the internet. If someone was to have gone into the police station and said, look, Ronan is here, someone is threatening to harm him and they're standing outside our house, I think they would have responded immediately to that. It's the complexity that comes with the introduction of the internet into the scenario. And I think therein lies a real problem, because children, I mean, 87% of young people going onto Facebook are doing it from a mobile phone. So they are on these social networking platforms 24/7. They're part of their lives. So we've got to make sure that the services that we provide to them in times of crisis are sophisticated enough to understand that.
Do you think there's any chance of catching this gang now?
I think there is a chance of catching them. I think if any young person in Northern Ireland has been approached, if any young person across the UK or beyond is approached, if the police get in early enough and engage this gang, because they won't stop, they don't have a conscience. These are cruel and malicious people. Sometimes it's not even about the capacity to get the money. If you look at the Daniel Perry case, the messages that were sent to that boy, you know, we will destroy your life, commit suicide, are you dead yet? You know, these people have to be caught. I spoke on the World Service this morning. I was saying, if you're involved in an NGO, if you're working in the field and you hear these rumours about people involved in this, for goodness sake, report them, because we've got to be seen to do something. And we've got to make sure that Ronan's parents are supported. And I think the safeguarding board and the police need to seriously consider the need for a serious case review to learn any lessons that there may be from what's happened.
Well, that's
in this case.
So you're the former head of CEOP, and you're calling for a serious case review into how this case was handled.
Well, what I'm saying is when the safeguarding board and all of the partners in the safeguarding community sit around that table and look at it, if they feel that some of the partnership work could have been done better, if there could have been greater input from, and quicker input from health through the GP services or others, if there could have been a greater and quicker response from the police and others, then I think it's critical that lessons are learned. And the best way to learn lessons in a complex case like this, in my opinion, is through a serious case review.
Now, Jim, the clear issue here that I guess some of us are thinking about is, had this have been handled in a different way, would Ronan still be alive? Was there any type, this is what you're really saying, isn't it? Was there any type of protection that could have been put around this vulnerable young man? Because, you know, the system knew he was under pressure. It was flagged up to at least the police. Is there anything could have kicked in? And I'm not blaming the police here. I'm not going down that route. But is there anything
could have kicked in? I'm not blaming the police either. I think the police are put in a very difficult position. Too few with too little training and very little expertise in this area. I think as we look forward to cases in the future, it's how we can learn the lessons. So was there a suicide prevention strategy put in place? You know, the irony is that if you arrest a predator for downloading indecent images of children, before you release them from custody, you will look at a suicide prevention strategy with the family, with health services and others, because there's a likelihood that they may take their own life. We need to make sure that children get at least as good, if not better, a service as that moving forward. So critically, I think, not just for the PSNI, but for police forces across, you know, the UK and Ireland and beyond, we've got to begin looking at the reality that children live on and offline. And let me say this, if anyone's listening, Ronan wasn't particularly vulnerable. You know, Daniel Perry wasn't particularly vulnerable. If I had been 16 or 17 and been approached in exactly the same way as they were, I'd have probably done the same thing. So if you're a child, don't be embarrassed, don't be ashamed. We all do these things. Talk to a teacher, talk to your mum or dad, talk to a parent or guardian. And you know what? The police learn lessons. They always do. You've got a fabulous service in the PSNI. They may have made mistakes, and I don't know that they have, so let's not prejudge it. But they're well led, and they will learn from this, and they will be listening, and they will improve. So do come forward. Put your faith in them, because everybody wants to make sure children are safer.
Okay. Jim, thank you very much indeed. Morning to you.